Great to see you today. If you're a regular, great to have you here with us. Thank you for being here as we're starting a brand new series. If you're a guest with us in any one of our campuses, we're so honored that you're here. And you get to start at the beginning of this journey. And so hopefully you'll be able to join us for all 7 weeks, because I think it's going to be a great series for us as we think about the Holy Spirit and all that that means for us. The series is entitled The Helper, and I'll show you in just a little bit why we named it that. I want to welcome our campuses, Springboro to the south, Northmont to the north, Beaver Creek to the east, Classics is with us, and all of you that are right here in Centerville, it's really, really good to have you. If we haven't met, my name is David. I'm one of the pastors that serves here on staff, and I get to be able to be with you today as we start this series. Grab your Bibles or a device, and if you don't have one, we'll give you one. We tell you that pretty much every single week. And if you want, why don't you turn with me to Acts chapter 2, because Acts chapter 2 is really where we see in the New Testament the dramatic story of the Holy Spirit as we kick this off today. There's three things I want to tell you about the Holy Spirit as we get launched here today. But the thing that I would want you to remember today about this whole series is this, that God is not far. How awesome would it be for you to leave here today and really in your own life and your relationships and the way you're experiencing life, maybe your things are really, really going well for you, or maybe you're in a very, very difficult season. I've got great news for you. God is not far. And that is exactly why we should be talking about the Holy Spirit, because God gave to us the Holy Spirit because he did not want to be far from us. If you feel like God is far from you, I hope you'll go with us over these next 7 weeks, because I'll show you and the scriptures will show you how God can be so near to you in all of your experiences. God is not far at all. Let me go all the way back to the beginning, though, so I can get this started. But before I do, I just want to tell you that if you haven't joined a small group, it is not too late. You can even do that today. You've heard this for weeks and weeks and weeks, and we really are telling you this because we think that in a circle, you'll be able to experience the conversations about the Holy Spirit so much better, really. And so it's not too late. In fact, we have on-campus groups for each campus. So if you're not sure where to go and where to start, and you're just like, you know what, I'd rather just show up to campus. We can help you with that. Just stop by any of the welcome desks out there, and we'd be happy to get you started in that. It's really the best way for you to experience this series as we launch into it. So as we think about God, here's what I want you to know today as we get started, that God, in fact, has a plan. And if you think about God's plan, you have to go all the way back to the very, very beginning. If we had time, I would take you all the way back to Genesis. I've done the work for you. Let me just show you, because today I'm going to show you all kinds of scripture all through the Bible about how God is promising and delivering, and how the Holy Spirit can change everything about you, and how the Holy Spirit can be with you every single day of your life. There's so much that we can learn today as we launch this and as we start this up. But I want you to see that God has a plan. He had a plan for this thing all the way in the very beginning. In fact, if you turn with me, you don't need to, because I'm going to show you. In Genesis chapter 1, it says this, "Let us make man in our image after our likeness." So God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit show up in Genesis chapter 1 in the very beginning, because God wants to be near us, and he does that in so many ways that I want to look at today. I want you to notice that the triune God is there in Genesis chapter 1. God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. And if you've ever wondered, like, what's the difference between the roles that the triune God has, let me show you. It's really important for us to understand this as we begin to think and talk and begin praying about what this means for each one of us in our whole lives. Church, you need to know that I have been praying for weeks and weeks, actually months and months, that this series would do so much in each one of our individual lives. And if you're here as a guest with us today, as I've already mentioned, the thing that we hope that you're most impressed with about Fairhaven Church is our desire to know God deeply. That's what we really care about. We want to make sure that we know him, and one of the ways that God does that is by his Spirit. Let me show you the triune God and the differences of the roles of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. See, God the Father brings everything into arrangement. He's sovereign. He's the one that is planning everything. He's the one that has the plan. He's the one that knows the beginning from the end. He knows all things. He knows what you're dealing with. He knows what your emotions are. He knows what you're thinking right now. He brings into a plan everything that happens into existence. He brings all of that into existence because God the Father, that's his role as the Father who is there waiting for us as we want to think about the Holy Spirit. God the Son, Jesus, is the one who arranges all things. It was through Jesus that God arranged that you and I could have a relationship with him, because you and I were the cause that the relationship is broken. I hope you know that. The wrong in my life and the wrong in your life is what separated us from God. And so God brings this plan, and he sends his one and only son, who then arranges for you and I to be able to have a relationship with God, because he paid the penalty. He suffered on the cross, was placed in a tomb, and oh, by the way, 3 days later walked away. And so he does that for us. God the Spirit, which is what we're going to be talking about for the next 7 weeks, is the one who perfects all things in our lives. Let me say it this way. If your life is really, really going well today, what the Holy Spirit wants to do is to make sure you know it's not about you. It's what God has done through God the Father and God the Son. On the flip side, if you're going through one of the most difficult seasons of your life, here's what the Holy Spirit wants to perfect in your life. He wants to make sure that you understand that you can experience joy and peace in your life rather than blaming God. He will perfect that in your life if you're going through a really hard season. That's what the Holy Spirit wants to do for you. Well, so let me say it this way, really, as God has this plan. See, God, his plan has always been to live with his people. That's why God is never far. That's why he wants you and I to understand the Holy Spirit. There's so much that needs to be said. And I want to start today by telling you that the Holy Spirit has been promised to each one of us, that the Holy Spirit will change everything about you. And the question is, how does that happen? I hope to show you today by showing you all kinds of verses in the New Testament. And then I want you to know that the Holy Spirit is something that walks with you. He walks with you every single day. And so it's a daily walk with him. It's a daily life that you live with the Holy Spirit. I want to show you that as well today. But here's what Jesus said, which is really important for us. Jesus said this in John chapter 14. I will ask the Father, God the Father, Jesus asking, quote, I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper. That's where we got the title. It's right out of what Jesus has to say, that Jesus wants us to understand the helper. The helper is the Holy Spirit, which in the Greek is pneuma, and in the Hebrew it's ruach, which means wind or breath. You know the power of wind, don't you? I mean, you've seen it on the news where it blows down trees and it blows roofs off and sometimes blows whole houses down. We know the power of wind, and so when the Hebrew and the Greek in Scripture, when God uses the word of pneuma and ruach, he wants us to know that the power of God can live in us. The Holy Spirit can live inside of us and can do amazing things. The meaning is also about breath, and you know that if you don't have any breath, you don't have any life, right? And so wind and breath. And so Jesus says, I'm going to ask the Father, and he'll give you another helper, advocate, counselor, Holy Spirit, to be with you forever, forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive. Because the only way you can experience the Holy Spirit is if you come into faith by a relationship with Jesus Christ. We'll look at that in just a second. The world cannot receive because it neither sees him nor knows him. You know him, for he dwells with you and will be in you, inside of us. He's talking to his disciples, and so if you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, I got good news for you that God is not far, because the Holy Spirit is, in fact, inside of you. And if you're here today and you haven't made that decision, I'll tell you as we go through this here today how you can experience the Holy Spirit in your life, the power of God who will work in your life every single day. Grab your Bibles and devices with me, and let's turn to Acts chapter 2. Acts chapter 2 is in the New Testament. Acts chapter 2 there is where we'll see the story of how Jesus said to the disciples, I'm going to go away, and because I'm going to go away, I'm going to give you the Holy Spirit, and here's how it took place. This is the dramatic event when the Holy Spirit was given, and yet the people there didn't understand it at first, and then thousands and thousands began to understand it, and here we are centuries later. It's amazing. Acts chapter 2, start in verse 1. Here's how it reads. When the day of Pentecost arrived, if you want to know what the word Pentecost means, it's Pentecost. It's the 50th day. So it's the 50th day, Pentecost, after Easter. It's 50 days after Jesus was raised from the dead. That's called Pentecost. On the day of Pentecost, when it arrived, they were all together in one place. Jesus had just been ascended into heaven, and suddenly there came from heaven a sound like a mighty rushing wind. And it filled the entire house where they were sitting. And a divided tongue as of fire appeared to them and rested on each one of them. Now, there's a lot of conversation that we could have about these divided tongues here. Peter actually goes on in verse 9, if you look at it there and below, he talks about how there's 16 different nationalities that are there, and they all began to speak in their own native tongue. And so 16 different languages that were being spoken at the same time, because God was doing amazing things in that moment. It'd be like if I stood up here today and started speaking to you in Indonesian. Most of you, maybe all of you, wouldn't even understand it. It would sound kind of weird, actually, because it's a very, very different language. And yet I speak it fluently because that was my first language. And so that's what we see here, that these 16 languages, because God was descending on them by the Holy Spirit, and all of a sudden they all began to speak in their languages, talking about this incredible event that took place in their life. And so we see right here that this is the entrance place of the Holy Spirit in the lives of the believer. But we have to back up a little bit, because I want to show you today that God has been promising this ever since the beginning of time. See, the promise of God is this, that the Holy Spirit in our lives is God's plan, and that plan, and that promise, rather, was kept. And I want you to see it. I want you to see what Peter has to say as Luke writes it down for us in Acts chapter 2. And I want to show you in a couple places in the Old Testament. If you want, you can take a look at it, or you can jot them down if you want in your small group and take a look at it, because God promised this from the very, very beginning. And he goes all the way to back. I mean, I want you to notice here right away that this promise is found. Tyler Statton, who's an author, wrote the book Familiar Stranger, which is about the Holy Spirit, which, by the way, is a great book if you want to get it. And if you want to study more about the Holy Spirit in your life, you may want to read this book, The Familiar Stranger. Tyler is a young man, really, really intelligent, and writes great things. This is what he says. The Holy Spirit is the experiential agent of the Trinitarian God, narrowing the gap between biblical promise and everyday experience. What Tyler is saying there essentially is that when you understand you can have a relationship with God through Jesus, and when you're given the Holy Spirit will walk with you every single day, and he begins to make sense of God's word in your life and your experience that you live every day, and that gap gets smaller and smaller, and so you begin to see how God is working every single day in your personal life and in all the relationships that you have. It's really a great call in talking about that gap that's been closed. See, I want you to notice that this promise that has been given to us is a promise that ends up showing up in the Old Testament. And Peter actually shows us that. Take a look again in Acts chapter 2. Jump down. I read verses 1, 2, and 3. Jump down to verse 14. I want you to see this is what took place. Acts chapter 2, verse 14. Peter is standing with the 11. That's the 11 apostles there, and he lifted up his voice and addressed them being a huge crowd there. We know it's huge because at the end of this, thousands and thousands of people begin to determine, hey, you know, I want that in my life. I want the Holy Spirit in my life, and I want God to be near in my own life. So they're standing there, and this is what Peter said to them. Men of Judea and all who dwell in Jerusalem, let this be known to you and give ear to my words, for these people are not drunk as you suppose, since it's only the third hour of the day. Because of all the languages that are being spoken there, people are really confused. They're like, man, these people are, well, they've had way too much to drink, apparently. But when Peter mentions to them, they're not drunk at all. It's only 9 o'clock in the morning, by the way. That's the third hour. And so he says, that's not the problem. And in fact, he says, it's the promise of God. God has been promising this from the very beginning of time, that he wants to give us the Holy Spirit, who will perfect everything in your life. He will change you from the inside out. And so he says, this is what was uttered through the prophet Joel. Joel chapter 2, to be exact, verse 28. And Peter quotes it. Here's what he says, verse 17. In the last days it shall be, God declares, that I will pour out my spirit on all flesh. Flesh being humans. I'm going to pour out my spirit on everyone, and your sons and your daughters shall prophesy, and your old men shall see visions, and your young men shall see visions, and your old men shall dream dreams. Even on my male servants and female servants, those that, you know, are working, in those days I will pour out my spirit and they shall prophesy. What does the word prophesy mean there? They'll have spiritual instruction. So based on the Spirit of God, you and I can have spiritual instruction. So if you're interested in growing in your faith at all, you might be interested in the Holy Spirit, because the Holy Spirit's going to give you spiritual instruction every single day in every area of your life. And Joel the prophet, he actually told us that in Joel chapter 2. But it wasn't only with Joel. I mean, it was also in Ezekiel. Ezekiel chapter 36, we read this in Ezekiel 36, that God is saying, I will give you a new heart. And a new spirit I will put within you. Make sure you catch that, church. It's within us. It's inside of us. I will put the spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh, and I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes and be careful to obey my rules. Don't miss what Ezekiel's saying here. Ezekiel's saying that God has a plan, because he doesn't want to be far. And so what he's going to do is he's going to put the Spirit of God inside of you. The Holy Spirit will live inside of us and give us the power to live every single day. And in fact, if you have any interest at all to be obedient to God, that's not because you're really, really good. It's because the Spirit of God is inside of you, helping you to want to cause you to follow and do the right things and to live by God's boundaries, because they make sense. And so the prophet Ezekiel is helping us to see that. So this promise is in the Old Testament for sure, but this promise is also, it's fulfilled in Jesus Christ. Because Peter says to the crowd there, this Jesus that you crucified and you put him on a cross, he was raised and the shackles of death were taken off of him, and he was raised from the dead, and because of that, he wants to give to us the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, in our lives. And then Peter says in Acts chapter 2, you can read it for yourself. Look, I can show you where King David's tomb is, because he's still there. He didn't come back from the life. He's still there. His tomb is still there, but Jesus' tomb is empty. And he says, and because of that, you and I can have the gift of the Holy Spirit in our life. It's a gift that we have to unwrap. And so, church, in all of our campuses and online, wherever you're at, I want you to get the image in your mind that as we start this series, let's unwrap this gift of the Holy Spirit. Let's understand what God really means by it. Let's make sure that we see every single day that God wants the Holy Spirit to do things inside of us that we could never, ever do on our own. In fact, Jesus says this in Luke chapter 24. He says, and behold, I am sending the promise of my Father upon you, but stay in the city until you are clothed with power on high. He was telling the disciples, stay in Jerusalem until the day that I'm going to send the Holy Spirit to you, and he's going to reside inside of you, which is what we just read in Acts chapter 2. See, this promise was not only in the Old Testament. It was not only fulfilled in Jesus. Here's the best part. You may want to jot this one down. It's available for every single believer. It's available for everyone. It's not just available for a certain few. It's available for everyone. In fact, it's not just the kings and the prophets and the priests and the pastors, but it's for all believers. If you're here today and you're a follower of Jesus, it is for you. The problem, though, for us is that oftentimes we see our life and all the things that we experience all around us, and we have a hard time believing that as a believer in Jesus that you get the Holy Spirit. Because you know that if you want to become a CPA, well, you have to go through education. You have to take classes, and you have to take tests, and you have to have people watching you, and then you have to have people, you know, making sure that you know what you're doing, and then you become a CPA. That's the same thing with teachers. You can't just decide one day to become a teacher. You actually have to go to school, and then you have to do student teaching, which means that you teach a class and they watch you and critique you and all of that. And then after that, then you have to actually take a test and get a license to teach, and then you begin to teach. I've got a guy in my house right now helping me with some projects. As you know, we had an issue in our basement, and so we're doing some projects not only in the basement, but now we're starting to do some projects up on the second floor, which the water didn't affect at all. It's just really because my wife wants to make some changes in the house. So it's a good idea, I think, actually. And so we've got a guy there who knows what he's doing with plumbing Turns out, if you want to be a plumber, you have to start off as an apprentice. And what that means is you watch somebody doing the plumbing and you learn. And then you become a journeyman, which means you do the plumbing and somebody else watches you while you do it. And then you become a master plumber. See, there's a process there. And sometimes it's hard for us to believe. But do you know that you can invite Jesus into your life today and you'll be given the Holy Spirit? If you invited Jesus into your life last week, you can get the Holy Spirit. If you've been a follower of Jesus for decades and decades like I have, wouldn't you know that the Holy Spirit still wants to do things in my life and to make some changes? And I'm hoping that as we go through these next 7 weeks, that God does incredible things in each one of our lives and for us as a church family, no matter if you're 13 years of age or 93 or anywhere in between. Am I right, church? That the Holy Spirit has been given to us because it was a promise. Not only did God promise the Holy Spirit to us, God told us that the Holy Spirit is going to make everything change. The Holy Spirit is the one that changes everything in our lives. Of course, the question is, well, what changes is he going to make? Well, I love what Francis Chan says in his book called The Forgotten God, and we've given some of those books out, and if you'd like to, you should probably download this book or buy it. It's a really good book on the Holy Spirit in your life. And so let me quote Francis Chan. Here's what he says about the Holy Spirit. He says, without the Holy Spirit, people operate in their own strength, and some of us are pretty strong. We're pretty talented, pretty smart. But some people will operate in their own strength and only accomplish human-sized results. But when believers live in the Spirit's power, the evidence in their life is supernatural. That's why, as we look around our church family, when there's things that happen, tragic things that happen, and we see people who have joy and are living life and worshiping God, how does that happen? That's by the Spirit of God. When we experience things in our life and we give God the credit rather than taking credit ourselves, how does that happen? Well, that's because of the Spirit of God. And he wants to do that in each one of our lives, and I hope that he'll do that for you as we begin to raise the awareness and we begin to think through the fact that the Holy Spirit wants to walk with us every single day. He wants to change everything in our life. Let me mention four of them if you want to jot these down. Here's the first thing that the Holy Spirit wants to change. He wants to give us life or new life. Would there be an area of your life right now where you could use new life? Would there be an area of your life and your own personal life where you just need God to do something in your life because of what's going on, that you just need a sense of something new, a sense of strength, a sense of courage that you may not had in the last month or so? I don't know. When I was dating Kathy and I met her, she was living in New York at the time, and I had just had a friend that was in New York, and so I went to visit him, and that's when I met Kathy, actually. And so I thought, if this is going to work, I got to move to New York. I was living in California at the time, playing soccer, as many of you know, and so that's not going to work to live in California and want to date this really, really beautiful woman in New York. So I thought, I know what I'll do. I'll move to New York. Good plan, right? So I moved to New York, and it was awesome to be there. But as we were dating to trying to figure out if this is going to go the long distance, which, you know, almost 40 years now, I think we're about there. We're getting there. And as I was dating her, the only way to see her for half of the week was to go and visit her at her workplace, because she worked evenings from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. She did 3 12s in a row. She was a nurse, and she was working in a cardiac ICU, the intensive care unit. And so I thought, well, I'm just going to show up and have lunch with her, because her lunch was 2 a.m. in the morning. And so literally, I would show up, and I would meet with her, and we would sit in the stairwell of the hospital at 2 o'clock in the morning, and I'd bring food. Sometimes I didn't bring flowers. Come on, ladies. I'd bring flowers, you know, and sometimes bring a little cake and a balloon or something. I'm really trying hard here to make this thing, you know, happen. And there we were at the hospital. And every once in a while, we'd be there in the stairwell, and all of a sudden, a buzzer would go off, and she'd run off. And you know why? Because this is the cardiac intensive care unit. And they're up there taking this machine, this little paddles, and they call it a defibrillator. I didn't even know what that was. And they would shock this person back into life. What would it be like if in the next 7 weeks, God would shock a few of us back into life? Because that's what he wants to do. See, the Holy Spirit gives us life, new life, in an area that you might need that. Here's what happens in Romans chapter 8, because Paul is talking to the Roman church, not unlike us here at Fairhaven Church, and he says, you, however, are not the flesh, but in the Spirit, if in fact the Spirit of God dwells in you, anyone who does not have the Spirit of Christ does not belong to him. So if you're a follower of Jesus, the Spirit of God is inside of you, and if you're unsure of that, well, then you ought to take a look at the fact that maybe you're not following God at all, and maybe that's a decision that you want to make today. Not only does the Holy Spirit want to give you new life, here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit is the seal of ownership in your life. In other words, if the Holy Spirit is working in your life and you have ever had this thought of, you know what, I should do that because that would be the right thing to do, that's the Spirit of God. Or if you're in a conversation and the conversation gets heated and you're like, don't say it, and you don't say it, that's the Spirit of God helping you to make sure that in your relationships that you can have and do the right things. But see, the Holy Spirit in life is really, it's the seal of ownership. It is God saying, I am your God. You are a son or a daughter of the King, a seal. But see, we don't know much about seals in the Western world. It happens a lot in the rest of the world, actually. I mean, if you live in Asia, any document that you have has a document where somebody signs it, and then they would actually put a seal or a stamp on it, because that stamp means it's done, is I own it, or I'm in charge, or I set it. It's a seal. I have one of those because I lived in Asia for a while. Can I show you mine? Here's what mine looks like, actually. My signature looks like this, actually, and that's the seal that I have. It was made for me in Asia, and so that seal is used in Asia that if you sign a document, you would sign your name, and then boom, you'd put a seal right there. Now, in the 21st century, what that would look like is you get an invitation to a wedding, you get an invitation to a, you know, a shower of some kind, and the envelope is sealed, and here's why. Because it belongs to you, and you open that envelope. And that seal is symbolic of the fact that that invitation belongs to you. And so all through the Bible, we're told that the Holy Spirit is the seal of God on our lives. Let me show you. Ephesians chapter 5 is, Paul is talking to the, Ephesians chapter 1 rather. Paul says this, in him you also, when you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, and believed in him, you were sealed with the promised Holy Spirit, who is the guarantee of our inheritance until we acquire possession of it to the praise of his glory. So not only does the Holy Spirit want to give you new life, and the Spirit wants to be the seal of ownership in your life, here's what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit redefines your identity. I want you to think about this for a minute. The Holy Spirit can redefine who you are. Church, this is really important because you don't have to be defined by your past. You don't have to be defined by a mistake. You don't have to be defined by an addiction that you've had or are struggling with. You don't have to be defined by all of that. What we need to understand is that the Holy Spirit given to us gives us a new identity, and we are defined differently, and God by his power can help us to walk away from those. You might be dealing with a temptation of some kind in your life, and it's just hounding you, and you are not defined by that, and God can help you and to walk away from that to give you a new identity in life. It's just that important. It's not an upgrade in life. It's a completely new identity. That's why when we read that in Scripture, we can see it. But here's what I want you to hear today. The Holy Spirit doesn't just improve you. He actually remakes you. It's not like a 2.0 version of you. It's not like an upgrade of some kind. What the Holy Spirit wants to do is make you a completely different person. That's why Paul says this in 2 Corinthians chapter 5. He says, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation, a new person. The old is what, church? Well, the old is past. The old is past, and the new has come. And so there's a new person. He wants to remake your identity. He wants to reshape you in a way. But not only that, he wants to shape your heart as well. He wants to take your heart, because in your heart is where you have desires and attitudes, and actions come out of your heart. I think we all know that. And so he wants to shape our hearts. So lastly here, as we talk about what the Holy Spirit will do, he'll shape our lives. It's like a potter whose hands are so gentle. I don't know if you've ever seen it or not. But if you watch a potter who's got his hands on a chunk of clay and just very carefully and softly and gently just massages it into a shape of a vase, into something really, really beautiful, I want you to know that that's what God wants to do in my life and in your life. But maybe over these next 7 weeks that he wants to shape your heart into something completely new, something completely different, because your heart is heavy or your heart is in the spot that you don't want it to be. That's what this is all about, that the Holy Spirit can do that. I love what John Mark Comer says. He says this. He says, if we're not being intentionally formed by Jesus or the Holy Spirit himself, then it's highly likely that we're being unintentionally formed by someone or something. And it's amazing, and I think you'd agree with me, it's easy for our careers to define us and to shape us. It's easy for our families to define us and to shape us. It's easy for our portfolios to define us and shape us. It's easy for the world around us to define us in terms of who we are. And yet when we understand who the Holy Spirit is, see, the Holy Spirit wants to change everything about our lives. But it doesn't happen over a period of time. It happens every day. Thirdly and lastly, I want you to see that the Holy Spirit is a spirit in our lives that empowers our daily living, that he wants to do this every day, starting tomorrow morning, whenever you get up, 5:30, 6, 6:30. I don't know what that is for you, but the minute that your feet hit the floor and you begin your day, the Spirit of God is ready to go. And as we give to him and we yield to him, the Spirit of God is ready to go to help you every single day, to give you what you need to make sure that as we acknowledge him in our lives, which is why we often talk here about dailies, that as we start out our day and we connect with God, it'll impact the way we have conversations and the way we see our families and the way we see the people in our neighborhood and the world, and as we watch the news, whatever it might be, that we're changed in that regard. It's absolutely amazing. See, the Spirit of God is not the starter kit. The Spirit of God is not a starter kit in your life. It's a daily companion. It's not like an accessory that you wear spiritually. It's not like a fancy watch that you wear or jewelry, ladies, that you would put on. The Holy Spirit is not an accessory. The Holy Spirit is actually the inside of your life spiritually that will help you and empower you every single day. It's absolutely incredible when you understand that he is the daily companion for us. See, he teaches us and he reminds us every day. Next week, I hope you'll be here, because if the Holy Spirit, according to the Bible, helped to write the scriptures, don't you think that the Holy Spirit will make the scriptures understandable? Right? I mean, if he was the one that inspired the writing of God's word for us, don't you think that as we read it and study it, because sometimes you got to spend a little time in it. Am I right, church? I mean, there are times where you got to spend some time, and we've got to ask the Spirit of God to help us to understand it, because if we understand the Spirit of God, the Word of God, it's going to make a big difference in our lives as we start our day every single day, which is, by the way, why Jesus says this in John chapter 14. Jesus says, quote, he will, that's the Spirit of God, he will teach you all things and bring to you your remembrance of all that I have said to you. He will bring it all to mind. He will help you to remember it. He will help you to form it in your mind. He's the one that's going to help each one of us in all of this every single day in our lives. He's the one that does that. It's like a tutor, if you've ever had a tutor, or a coach, and I've had many. Recently, I've had a golf coach, because I bought some new clubs, and man, it's been about a year and a half. They're not working as well. I've had to really, it's amazing how you get a coach and he shows you how to hold your hand correctly and maybe differently, and how you swing a little bit differently. We all need that. The Holy Spirit is that for us. He wants to teach us and to remind us. He also wants to convict us and to correct us. You know what the difference is between conviction and condemnation? This is really important, because see, the Spirit of God is going to convict you, but the Spirit of God will never condemn you. See, conviction is what draws us to God because God points out to us, you might want to think about this, you need to change this in your life, change that attitude, change this desire. Conviction ought to draw us to God, and conviction ought to bring peace in our lives. Condemnation, on the other hand, will draw us away from God and will bring shame. So if you're here today and you have shame of any kind, that is not the Holy Spirit. How many of you know that the enemy wants to destroy us? And as he wants to destroy us, he wants you to feel shame and to draw you away from God. That's not what the Holy Spirit does. The Holy Spirit convicts us, draws us to him, gives us a sense of peace. See, Jesus said that in John chapter 16. He says, quote, "But in fact, if I do go away, then I will send him to you, and he," the Holy Spirit, "comes. He will convict the world of its sin and of God's righteousness and of the coming judgment." For the enemy, he is going to be judged one day. It's absolutely amazing. See, this conviction that happens in our life is not unlike an engine light that goes on in our cars. That somewhere along the line, in the course of a daily life, that God will bring up a signal in the dashboard of your spiritual life that, wow, we need to change that. We need to work on that. We need to think about that, because that's what the conviction of God is in our lives. He wants to course correct for us because of the Holy Spirit in our life. See, the Spirit not only does that, but the Spirit wants to help us to grow in our lives. He grows godly character inside of us. That the Spirit of God will grow inside of each of us godly character. You might ask, well, what is that godly character? Well, Paul mentioned it to the Galatian church. You've probably heard this before. Here's what he says to the Galatian church. Well, the Holy Spirit produces this kind of fruit in your lives: love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. There is no law against any of these things. Kathy and I, when we lived in Malaysia, we had a mango tree in our yard. And it was amazing how every season, mangoes would just show up. See, the tree didn't work very hard. It just did what mango trees do, and they produce mangoes. Of course, we got very few of them because they would be ransacked by monkeys, literally, every year. True story. We would get no mangoes because they would come in. Apparently, they knew when the mangoes were coming as well. See, just like in a fruit tree, see, this fruit of your life will grow as the Holy Spirit works on you, because that's what it does. It just happens naturally. It's what we do every single day, that the Spirit of God will work that in us. Not only that, he sustains us and he guides us in our lives. The Holy Spirit will sustain you. If you're struggling right now, the only thing that may be keeping you afloat is the Holy Spirit in your life, because the Spirit of God wants to sustain you and guide you through all that you're dealing with. If I had time and I could take you to every scripture in all of the New Testament about what the Holy Spirit wants to do in guiding you, here's what you would find. You would find that the Holy Spirit will comfort you. The Holy Spirit will transform you, empower you. He confirms God's word in your life. He will actually sanctify your actions, in other words, change them to the right things. He will infuse joy. He will keep us to the end. He will fill us with praise. He will communicate to you that God actually loves you, because sometimes we question that. He will tell us that our gifts that God has given to us, he can confirm those gifts in our lives. Church, as we go through these next 7 weeks, I want you to know that God has been promising this from the very beginning of time. Not only that, he wants to change us from the inside out, and he wants to walk with us every single day. So here's how I want to end this first week. Here it is. Let's end this way. You see, if you are not aware of the Holy Spirit's presence in your life, if you're not aware of the Holy Spirit's presence, it may mean, now the word "may" is the operative word, it may mean that you haven't fully surrendered your life to Jesus Christ. So in all of our campuses, I'm just going to invite you all, would you just bow your heads with us as we start this next 7 weeks together? I'm going to give you an opportunity to pray one of two prayers today as we start. Because you might be here and you're not sure if you really have experienced the Holy Spirit, which probably means, or may mean, that you may not really have a relationship with God through Jesus. And your prayer could be, "Jesus, I invite you into my life." If you're here today and you are a follower of Jesus, Here's the prayer that you may want to pray, as I've been praying. Holy Spirit, I give you control of my life. It may be, Jesus, I invite you into my life, or Holy Spirit, I give you control of my life. Would you take a moment and just give yourself some space? Which prayer is it for you? Father, we thank you. We thank you that you've given to us this incredible gift. Would you help us to unwrap it? Would you help us to understand the gift of the Holy Spirit in our lives? I pray that you'd work in my life, that you'd work in all of our lives. As a church, I pray, God, that you would remove that which needs to be removed, that you would encourage and sustain that which needs to be sustained, that you would help us to see you, that you'd help us to hear you, that as we go through the day, we would be very, very clear that you're there, you're with us. God, we thank you that you are not far. And we pray, Lord, that as we go through this series together, that you would do incredible things in each one of our lives. Thank you, Lord, for our marriages. Thank you, Lord, for our single friends. Thank you, Lord, for our kids and our grandkids. And we thank you, Lord, that all of us as a church are all going through this, so we can get into a car and have conversations. We can get to our small groups and have conversations about what you want to do. So, Father, some of us today are praying. We invite you into our lives. Some of us are praying, Father, we want to give you control. Holy Spirit, we give you control over the areas of our lives. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. And the church said, amen.